this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And this is Detective David Love, broadcasting live from the land down under on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome to our show.
Great to have you with us. Today we have special guest Herb Fried. Herb is a movie director. He started his adult life as an ordained rabbi and became the spiritual leader of Temple Beth Shalom in Lake Mahopac, New York. While producing and directing three shows at the Maidman Playhouse in New York, eventually he resigned his pulpit to become a movie director. He has directed and produced 15 feature films, most of which have been psychological, spiritual, and or social themes in spite of their commercial categories. He is best known for Graduation Day, a horror film, and Tomboy, a teenage romp, as well as the psychological drama Haunts and Child Two Man, a story of survival during the Watts riots. And now Herb has written a novel, Bashert, which is about soul love. And that's one of the reasons we're so excited to have you on our show, because we are Universal Soul Love and we always talk about the importance
we do
of soul love.
Soulmate relationships, twin flames, twin souls, love relationships and personal growth and spirituality. So many things that we can discuss on the show that we have with so many great guests. And we're very excited to have you on our show today, Herb. And as a matter of fact, we had a little bit of a mix-up with our guest lineup last week, and we had a pretty good introduction to Bashert, and we did a lot of talks about the intricacies and difficulties and challenges faced by people in soulmate relationships. So,
and we have actually talked about your book as well, so we're so glad we managed to connect this week.
Well, I'm so glad to be able to talk to you. I just got off an interview and they locked my phone, my landline, but I'm so happy to be talking to you again, because I really want to talk to your audience about Bashert, because you people deal with that very special spiritual dimension. And that's really what my book is about. It's a great love story, but a very spiritual love story. And, you know, sometimes reviewers can give you a better idea of how to describe your book than an author. But the first review that came out, the book just came out last week. And the first review came out of San Diego. I strongly recommend that you read it if you can. If you look up the website, it's www.herbfried.com, www.herbfried.com. And the reviewer said that the story really is, and it could be tied up in these words: can love transcend death? That's something to talk about.
So I figured then one of the characters must die.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, the premise is that no matter how great the love story, each of us, you know, has a number of days and years on this planet. And so when even the Romeo and Juliet, the true love that the people feel for one another, at some point has to progress into another dimension. Because one person dies and the other person has to deal with that loss until they are in some way rejoined. And I use that word rejoined because that's a central part of my thesis.
Herb, you're so right, because we've dealt with that very topic on this show many times. We had Diane Gray, who's the executive director of the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross Foundation, on our show talking about that. And we've had Christine Carlson, who's the co-author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff series, who lost her husband about 10 years ago suddenly. So she has a soulmate on the other side. And we've often talked on the show about how love, once it's created, is an energy that can never be destroyed and will, in fact, transcend death, exactly like you just said. So that's a fantastic statement for our audience to hear, and it's so very true. I believe that just wholeheartedly. So thank you for saying that.
David, what you just did was the best description I've heard of my book. And of course, I didn't have the pleasure of talking to the very knowledgeable people that you spoke about, but that is essentially what the book deals with, you know, and how to get the most out of the love on every level. that when you were together on this planet in the same, you know, in at the same time, and you're able to establish the kind of love that enables you to sing and to dance and to create and to give each other joy and pleasure and to receive, that's spectacular. But when the changes happen, you know, how you deal with it is an essential a part of life as well. And that's what my book deals with as well.
Wow, that's so timely. That's amazing. And it's really interesting because I happen to get your email from your publicist, and I do get a lot of them, and I don't normally look at them. But when I saw the book and I read the back matter, I thought, it sounds so familiar even to how Leonard and I got together and how our relationship has been. I saw some alignment, some kind of synchronicity to, you know, your soulmate. It sounded a bit like a soulmate adventure novel, and that's how I kind of feel our relationship has been. So I thought, this is going to be perfect.
That's right. From what I remember, I understand, and I am really yearning to ask you whether it's autobiographical or not, because I believe the main character was also a rabbi and a film director. Is that right?
That's exactly right. I have so many questions I want to ask you. But yes, in answer to your question, the two main characters are filmmakers. He's a director and an ex-rabbi, and she's a writer and a film editor, which surprisingly, and not surprisingly, was the story of our life. But when it comes to writing, I learned early on from Marion, she had written several books, and in the Précis, in one of them, she said that all fiction is biography, and all biography is fiction. And so you write what you really know about. And so on the one hand, the characters really follow much of what we did. And as it turns out, you know, I've made movies all over the world. We made movies in Guatemala, in Israel, in Rome, in Jamaica, in many different parts of the world. And we experienced so many different things, but we experienced them all together. And the way we work, and I have a feeling the way the two of you work is probably similar. We were totally in each other's heads. You know, she would say when we're setting up a shot, on the scene, she said, you know, I think it might be good if we shot it, if we set up the sheet this way. And the only thing I could say was, I was just going to say that. You know, it's just that you're so deeply into each other's thoughts and hearts that you just, everything becomes a multiple of what you could possibly do by yourself. So that's it.
It's interesting because David and I very often will, I will say something and then David will echo exactly the same thing. And it's a really interesting experience, and it's a beautiful experience because I find that it multiplies your energy, not twofold, but manifold. And I guess the other thing that I have read about with the book, and I'm certainly going to read it, is that I believe the characters have an adventure, possibly a mystical experience in Cancun in Mexico, something to do with perhaps ancient civilizations.
Which doesn't sound unfamiliar with our mission here.
Since my book deals with the esoteric and the spiritual dimensions, we have scenes in Nepal at an ashram. We have scenes in Jamaica with Rastafarians. We have scenes in Cancun, the descendants of the Mayans. And so these are all experiences that we can share together. And Mary and I have shared them over the years. And everything that we learn strengthens the bond between us and our ability to perceive the world around us. And I think that the two of you must live that daily.
We do. Universal Soul Love isn't just a radio show where, I mean, I call myself a mystic, and I've written books on mysticism, which doesn't necessarily, the title, it's just a title, but that I use to describe my belief system, which isn't really all that important. But Leonard and I are, of course, we're heavily involved with different organizations and global issues, and I've always been involved in the esoteric, our Universal Sola, part of our mission statement, besides being about relationships of all kinds, it's also about exploring the hidden mysteries of the universe. And so we lead a very exciting life, and we're just very grateful to, you know, to be sharing this life together. And we've met so many exciting people, everyone, and it's, so it's just been a life like no other for us.
And one of the things I had when I was seeking a soulmate was that I wanted this not just to be a romantic union. I wanted a partner who would join me in the adventure of life and unraveling the mysteries of life. And that is exactly what I got. And in fact, just today we were interviewing another very interesting
channeler
and clairvoyant and writer, Magenta Pixie, who was talking about the different dimensions in life, up to the sixth dimension, and talking about the matrix, the energy matrix that we all have around us, as well as the matrix we find ourselves in. And we're also about to possibly go and do a variety of initiations to activate various codes inside of us to help the ascendancy process. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, and I guess we're an unusual couple, with you being a psychiatrist and me being a private investigator and coming halfway around the world.
What a combination.
So, yeah,
everything you're saying really is precisely what I believe in, and I think you must, looking at the times that we live in, there's so much, we're surrounded by so much negativity, by so much anger, by so much hatred, that you it can be so despairing, that I think if it's essential that people like you, who are able to spread the word, say, wait a minute, there's more to life. There is a spiritual dimension that raises you up, that uplifts you, that makes you special and feel special and know that you are special and know that your neighbor is special and know that there's more to life than just bullying and anger and all the things that we read about and hear about in the news. And so I think, if anything, these are times that really desperately need the spiritual. And I'm so proud that you're there to, you know, to disperse it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you just said that, because almost every guest that we've had on this show who's fairly well known and, you know, works in the spiritual community in some capacity, even Bruce Lipton, who's fairly well known, and so many others have come on and said, you know, we're basically facing the fifth mass extinction of the planet. Possibly. I mean, I don't think the outcomes have been determined, but people say things to that effect because, just like you said, most people are scared. Professionals, everyone I run into, lawyers, doctors, accountants in Australia or in America or anywhere, are nervous and worried. And there's so much negativity being spread by the media that we need to raise the vibration of this planet and raise people's spirits at this time, because that's what's needed. And it's interesting. I just want to say, one of your questions that we received was that I thought I really wanted to ask was, why love and why now? And you kind of just answered that. And I wanted to ask that because you're very well known for coming out with that movie Graduation Day in the early 80s. And so you're known for your psychological thrillers. And so here we are now on Universal Soul Love, and it's such a major shift.
Well, for me, it's a culmination. Of the early years, starting out a long time ago, maybe 50 years ago or 45 years ago, preaching on the pulpit, I was constantly trying to find new ways, new ideas, new insights to share, so that we would be able to expand our physical existence to allow ourselves to enter the spiritual dimensions of our lives. So it started out there, but when I started to make movies, there's one of them, for example, has the last title, and they changed titles. It was originally called The Veil, but then it came out as Haunts. and is with My Brit. I don't know if you remember My Brit or Aldo Ray and Cameron Mitchell. Very, very good cast. And the whole story there is really quite similar to the book I've written now 30 years later. And it really deals with allowing that spiritual dimension to guide you, not just to be part of you, but to guide you, show you the way, because there's so much more than we see with the naked eye. And that's what is important to me. And that's what I, you know, if I could find out what people can take away from this book, it is that, you know, how to find that inner glow, you know, look at the light that really shines on you, and allow it to guide you.
That's a fantastic message. We often talk on Universal Soul Love about finding your inner power and trying to empower people to find their love center and to really be beacons of light to the world. It just feels like the right message for people who are already feeling disempowered right now. And it's the thing that counteracts all that darkness.
Herb, I'm really curious. You started life off as a rabbi dealing in spiritual matters. Then you became a filmmaker, and one of your films was actually a thriller dealing with
quite a few.
Yeah, quite a few. And now you've written a book which is spiritual. It sounds like you've become full circle, but I'm curious, when you were doing thriller movies, What was your goal there? Were you exploring the dark nature of humanity?
As a filmmaker, I do, and I could, and I found that that was by allowing that for that other side that does occupy so much of our lives. It gives me a place to start reaching inward. Sometimes you have to show what is wrong before you can start talking about, you know, what we should do to improve our lives. And we have to actually confront what is really bad and what is really wrong. And we have to be able to acquire the strength to say, I don't care if 43% of the population believes it, I know it's wrong. And I don't mean to get political now, but the point is that you have to allow that there is a lot of evil in the world. It does exist, but we don't. It doesn't have to drag us down. It can become, it could just drag us into the worst places psychologically, emotionally, every other way. But as you say, it could destroy the planet. So we really have to allow that exists. So in movies, you have 120 minutes. Or 100 minutes and 110 minutes to demonstrate, you know, how you go from this place to a better place. And so that's really, that was a great effort when I was making movies. Now in the novel, I have much more freedom to express it the way I wanted to. Also, in regard to that, when I made movies, it would take me maybe 3 to 5 months to write a screenplay. Now, this book took me 5 years, every single day. There's a difference in allowing yourself the time to actually understand where you are.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and everything you said was, you said it perfectly, by the way. I do remember, you know, when I was younger, even in my 20s, I was studying occult literature, and I would often see, dark spirits in my out-of-body experiences. And, we do explore that. And then in my spiritual awakening, you end up, as many people do, or whatever you want to call this, a psychic awakening, you end up turning within and doing that introspective inner self exploration of your shadow, your darker side, or your shadow self, where you're facing your so-called demons and facing them down and trying to figure out who you really are and what you stand for in the world. And I think that's what you were saying about we can't turn away from the darkness in the world. In fact, Lana and I work with a number of organizations now, and we have color conference meetings, and we're trying to do something about that as well. But we're not calling these human beings or even spirits evil, because that's duality. We know that, you know, even snakes throughout history have been considered associated with evil, and snakes are really, or even spiders, they're just doing what's within their nature, just as any creature would, any predatory creature. But we're not saying it's okay either. I, you know, like a mosquito, you don't call a mosquito evil because it sucks your blood, but at the same time, you don't want it in your space, and you don't want it sucking your blood, so you say no to it. And it's sort of...
Well, hopefully you do. Well, I mean, I have heard some people, supposedly very ascended, that allow mosquitoes to suck their blood because they're so generous. I could never do that.
Oh, you know, we're trying to make things...
I think that would be extreme, but everything you say is absolutely true. See, the world is complex, and all the things that you're talking about are very present in our lives and in the world. And some roads are more difficult to pass through than others. But I do believe that for each of us there is a unique path. And you have to find it. And one of the stories in my book, in Bashert, there's a question that when Marion and Dan, the two characters, first meet, her first question is, how did you ever go from being a rabbi to becoming a film director? And he tells her that, you know, there are many reasons and many ways you do that. But the important thing was that he had to, when he was a rabbi, he felt that there was some things that were positive in his life, but he had to change. And there's a poem by Tagore, which you may very well know, and that is, Tagore says, God respects me when I work, but he loves me when I sing. And so the question for me was, in the rabbinate, I was working, and I know that God respected me, but I wasn't singing. And so I had to find something that would enable me to sing. And I know that God loves me more when I sing than when I don't.
Well, it sounds like you got to do opera.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, you really got to be able to express your creativity in an amazing way.
You certainly did, and did it well.
I think we'll take a break now. And when we come back, I think we'll take a break now.
Okay.
And then I've got some more questions to ask you when we come back.
I'm loving talking to the two of you. You're a wonderful couple.
Okay. Fantastic. Great interview. Okay, let's take a break. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And this is Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome back to our show. Today we have our special guest, filmmaker and author Herb Fried, with us today, talking about his new book, Bashert, a soulmate adventure novel. And very excited to have Herb on our show today. We're having a really great interview, talking about soulmate relationships and just all sorts of great things.
We're going really deep.
We are, actually, as we often do. But this is a really great interview. I'm really excited.
Herb, as you know, we're quite into spirituality and mysticism. I know the Kabbalah is very mystical. I don't know too much about Judaism. And my question is, I understand the characters are Jewish and there are some Jewish themes, but I'm wondering which of those apply universally and which of those are maybe specifically Jewish themes. Maybe educate us a little bit about Judaism.
Well, that's a very interesting question, particularly because I don't think any great religion does not in some way cross through channels of other religions. And I think we all learn from one another. I mean, Judaism, like all the other religions, has gone through many, many different stages. I mean, there's biblical Judaism, there's Talmudic Judaism, and the whole idea of Kabbalah that you mentioned is something that is not found anywhere in the Bible, not found anywhere in the Talmud. And it appeared in the Middle Ages when the conditions of life were such, Jews were persecuted, and their physical lives became so complicated and difficult, and there were pogroms and there were murder, mass murders. And so they instead of trying to go outward, they went inward. They went in to try to discover, what is it that God demands of me? What can I do to make my life better? What can I do to see the truth, to see the light? And in the middle of all that, the Kabbalah emerged. Now, parts of it may have very well been taken from other sources that we don't really know, that were not Jewish, but the Kabbalah became a central part of contemporary Judaism. And it teaches many things. I mean, one of the things is related to the word bashert, is that the which means preordained or meant to be or meant for one another. That's what the word bashert means. And the Kabbalah describes which is a mystical doctrine, describes the creation of preordained couples. And the idea is that in every generation, God follows two people that he ordained from the beginning of time, and he urges them to observe his first commandment to Adam and Eve, to unite body and soul and become one flesh, for this is the purpose of creation. I just read that paragraph because it's essential. Mm. It's in the preface of my book. And it's taken from a great scholar whose name is the Baal Shem Tov, which means master of the good name. But I think one would find similar thoughts in Christianity, and possibly even in Islam, which I'm not very familiar with.
Mm.
Herb, did you say only one couple?
I'm sorry?
Did you say only one couple for each generation?
No. I did say that, but the idea is, I didn't mean to say one. I mean a. You know, finds couples. I designed that carefully in my book, because there are many, many different couples, who find one another. But the idea also, now that you raise the question, is if several people are in fact preordained to be with one another, does that mean everybody is or everybody is not? So what do you believe? And what do I believe? I do believe that everyone possibly can find a soulmate, someone that is preordained for them to live their life here and even beyond. I do believe that. The attitude, though, is that, you know, God is supposed to give us a hint. You know, he can tell us to walk down the street and turn left and you'll see someone. Then you walk down the street and say, gee, I think I'll turn right and get a candy bar. And then you hear God saying, oy vey, I'm trying to help you out here. Try to be a little bit more aware and conscious. Maybe I can help you find your soulmate. I do believe that they're there, but you have to find them. That's the most difficult part for us.
Yeah, last week on our show, we did talk about how Lana and I met as we were talking about Bashir, and we did do a lot of discussions about soulmate relationships, and I talked about how I've met I'm a past life regressionist therapist, and I do believe in reincarnation, and before I'd met Lana, I'd met a lot of who I believe are past life partners, along with people who I believe are part of my soul family or soul tribe or even star tribe, whichever term you want to give that. So it led me into thinking that a soulmate may be, I mean, there appears to be many soulmates, and that may be related to our spiritual evolution. And it could, my theory is that a twin flame or a twin soul is when two soulmates come together in a life for a special purpose, to learn something, to resolve something or for a mission, a higher purpose or something. But that's just my personal theory. Who knows?
Have you read my book? Because you sound as though you have.
There seems to be some kind of synchronicity between our relationship and your book. And
Sydney read a description of your book, and yeah. I guess I was very taken by the meaning of Bashirt, which, if I understand properly, and I remember what was written, was that the preordained couples, that the two people coming together somehow help the cosmic balance. And if I've understood that correctly, what resonated for me about that was the idea of twin souls coming together, not just for each other's evolution, but for the purpose of doing something for the world. And certainly that's what I had in mind, and that's what I love about my relationship with David, and that's what we found with other couples, where they actually have a mission to do something for the world. So they're not just evolving, they're actually doing something for the cosmos, possibly.
Well, Ilana, that's beautifully said. And what you've just described is really the essence of what I believe. Now, I when two people come together, their mission in life is to find one another. And when they find one another, there's this glorious union. Now, their lives simply rise to a much higher level. And ipso facto, just because their lives are improved, everyone they touch, everyone they come in contact with, find something that they can borrow or take or learn from to ennoble themselves, to ennoble their lives. And so I very strongly agree with you, Ilana, and believe in that.
We call that the divine union, and we do spend a lot of time talking about the masculine and feminine energies on our show, and about the balance between those energies, and how they complement each other, and the power it creates, and and a little bit about the post-feminist era and the relationship between the genders and, that sort of thing. So it is a very relevant, timely topic. And
However, that's not to say that soulmate relationships aren't rocky.
No, and I
believe in your book that the characters can be a bit rocky and they can have their moments.
And we can relate to that as well. We have our challenges, as we talked about last.
Of course. Of course, there'd be no way not to have a rocky relationship on some level, but you have to learn from something, and you learn from solving a puzzle. And so when you engage in something and there is in fact friction or something that you don't understand, getting through that together is what ennobles you both, and what enlivens you both.
Very true.
And of course, it's not necessary for everybody. And I guess I'm aware of the perhaps a somewhat different approach to ascension. I'm very much from a Buddhist background. And I know the Dalai Lama doesn't necessarily propose. I think he has somewhat. I think he's a little condescending about the idea of romantic love as being an illusion, and certainly in Buddhism there's more of a sense of going within and doing it yourself, and I think that can also be very useful, and for some people that may be the path. For other people it may be that they need to take time out to be with themselves, find themselves, but then a romantic union can really exponentially expand their energy.
I quite agree, and we live in a world where many different cultures teach us many different things about life and in different ways, coming from your background, you would see togetherness or soulmate one way. Someone else might see it a different way, but I have the distinct idea in this. It's just a conjecture that there's something about the relationship that you have with David that is universal, And it doesn't sound like it's, you know, it belongs to one particular culture or another. It just sounds like you have two people who understand that the essence of your life is your essence together, is your combined essence. And if that's what I feel, that's what I've experienced and what I tried to write about.
Wow, that's almost poetic. Very good. I also want to have our audience get a link to so that they can find Bashir. And I know you already gave us your website, but I don't know if you want to give us any other links or contact information.
Well, the thing is, the website is so beautifully done and created that it tells you all kinds of things. I mean, it talks about the book. It talks about different aspects of the book. Talks about different aspects of Marion's life and my life, how we came together, and some of the funny things that we experienced. And there are an awful lot of things that people have written. There's one of the very long sections at the end are some of the things that the interviewers have written. And there's one that's from a professor of Bible at the Hebrew University. His name is Shalom Paul. And he's a very long piece. And he talked about twinning and the twins in a psychological, theological sense of how twin souls do meet up. And I think if they just go to the website, there's so much fascinating material. I keep going to it myself, because I find fascinating ideas, fascinating stories. So if they just go to www.herbfried.com, I think, you know, it can guide you to other places too. But I strongly recommend that you do that. And it won't take very long. And I hope you and your listeners will find satisfaction in that.
Wonderful.
I have
heard. Are you going to be making a film about the book?
Well, strange that you should ask that, because having been a filmmaker for all those years, as a matter of fact, when I first started to write, I started to write it as a screenplay, and then realized that was not where I wanted to go. But I went to a play here in Los Angeles recently, and I saw one of the stars of a couple of my movies, brilliant actor. And he's a guy that I made a film with many years ago in Jamaica called Sunsplash. It's about the reggae festival. And he said that he read my book. He says, and he showed it to his manager. And would it be okay if they start talking about a screenplay? And I said, absolutely, talk. I don't know how they would do that. It's not something I can do at this point, because the novel is a sprawling novel. And it deals with a long period of screen time, a lot of years passed, and a lot of different locations. So I don't know quite how it would come off, but yes, I think Bashir could definitely be a love story on the screen.
Well, it certainly sounds like the characters are very interesting. Rocky, and Molly, I believe, is quite a fiery character who's almost irrational at times, but also grounded. And it sounds like you're... I like the fact that your female characters seem to be very powerful and strong. Where did you get the inspiration for the strong female characters in your book?
Well, the inspiration comes as you write. I mean... When I do a screenplay, I know precisely where I want to be. So in 3 months, I can write it all. In this book, I kept writing and rewriting and rewriting until it developed into something that sounded like a total story. And so that's really where I wanted it to be. I think it's as a book, it unravels over time. And I think you deal with the tragedy, with the glory, with the couple primarily that are Bashert, and we follow two younger people who think they're Bashir, but they don't know for sure. And so they go through life, or at least the short period of time until they determine that they are in fact Bashir, come from two totally different cultures. And they realize that the difference is what brings them closer together, because each provides something that the other didn't have. And that's the glory of that kind of relationship. And why do I have the feeling that may have resonance for you?
I think
you're right. It does have a resonance.
I remember, Lana was, I'm not sure if you've heard of Arielle Ford. She's an international best-selling relationship author. Her sister was Debbie Ford, who's passed on. But Lana had actually listened to a lot of her CDs in trying to find her soulmate. And oddly enough, we got interviewed by Arielle Ford for her last book, How to Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate, which in some ways didn't quite relate to the book. But it really did, because when I came from the United States, we had had a long online relationship, getting to know each other very well on Skype and whatnot. But we came together not knowing each other, and it was a very strange. It was almost like a divine sort of meeting or relationship, and we didn't. It was almost like an Indian sort of marriage where the higher forces or the higher realms sort of brought us together and said, you two are now together and you're married. And it was like we didn't know each other, and we didn't know.
Well, we knew each other on the internet, but we hadn't, and we had Skype each other, but we hadn't seen each other face to face. And so David decided to come to visit me in Australia, and I have children, and basically, David moved right in because he had nowhere else to live. And so he was, all of a sudden, we were a couple. And while we had, formed a very strong, friendship over the internet, it is different living face to face.
So the challenges were numerous. I'd never had children in my life. One is a completely different woman, very strong and professional woman, and so
we do come from very different backgrounds. We both have strong interests in spirituality and mysticism, but our life experiences have been diverse and very different.
I mean, I've worked in the court system and done so many different things to do with investigations for 20 years. Lana being a doctor, mental health doctor. We did face many challenges in the beginning, and it was.
And what I find is interesting, you see, it's always a vexed question. Is this person my soulmate or not? Almost like there's a black and white answer. And I remember something a friend of mine once said, really interesting, very wise. He said, soulmates are not found, they are made. And I always remember that. I don't think it's completely true. I don't think you can make anybody into your soulmate. But
and so we really did fit in with Arielle Ford's book, How to Turn your Soulmate and your Mate into Your Soulmate.
I guess the issue I find is that with any two people, if there are enough things that are similar, and usually with a soulmate union, there are a lot of compatibility,
commonalities,
and very often the resonance will be similar. But I find that as people, we change from day to day. We can, our moods go up and down, our resonances can change, and where we were one week may be very different to where we are the other week. And we are as systems, we are dynamic, and I think sometimes the challenge is to find, if you find yourself, perhaps drifting away from each other, is to find that resonance that really brought you together and, bring each other into alignment again, remake the soulmate relationship, so to speak.
Good point.
That's very, very wise. That's very, very wise. And I think you've touched on so many really essential points. The idea that you may come from different cultures, but there's something within each of you that saw something in the other, and whether you had children or you didn't have children, that you come to acquire. You learn to deal with that. And sometimes, and I think in more often than not, you begin to realize what a glorious thing it is to have children, to be around children, to watch them grow, to watch them play, to watch them learn things. And then that becomes part of your togetherness, part of your union. And the way you describe it is really a holy thing. You know, and the fact that there may be differences, cultural differences, there may be personality differences, it almost doesn't matter, because you have to allow for that love to come through. And when it does, it will strike the other person, and it will reverberate and just tie your heart in knots. And so you will become one. I do believe that happens. I'm convinced of it. I've lived long enough to know that that's the kind of thing that can happen. And it certainly has happened with me. But the two of you coming from different parts of the world, and I got to tell you, David, I cannot imagine from what listening to you that you were a detective. I mean, I suppose there are elements of that that influenced you and that helped you. But you're a rare soul, and so is Alana. I mean, the two of you together. It's very special souls. And so you are the two who should be talking about this, and thank God that you are, because you can spread that word. You can spread the love. You can spread the understanding and the awareness and tell your listeners. It's there. It's there. You can find it. It may be in a different configuration, but it's there. Find the one that's right for you, but be open to it. And I think, if they're lucky, they might be another David and Alana out there somewhere.
Wonderful.
Certainly hope so.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
We have to finish up now, but thank you so much, Herb Fried, for coming on our show. And that's all from us now. And big love to everyone out there. Big universal soul love hug. Bye for now.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Herb.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye.
See you next time.
God bless.
Good luck.